replied the inspector. Full stop. New paragraph. Yes, good. Unless we had replied the inspector, comma, and went on a bit. Difficult. It's one of those sentences that seem to need a twiddle on the end. Replied the inspector, stroking his moustache thoughtfully. Thoughtfully stroking his moustache. If he's got a moustache, I haven't decided it yet. After all, I'm only on page 9. On the other hand, if he's got one, should he have stroked it earlier? Readers could get a shock suddenly finding facial hair on what they've been taking for a clean-shaven copper. I sometimes think I worry too much about this sort of thing. Ever since the Bournemouth Echo said that Death in the Arboretum was well written. Other books received, it said, Death in the Arboretum by Gerald C. Potter, well written. You don't want to lapse from a high standard like that. Now, my wife, Mrs. Potter, against whom I won't hear a word, even if she does belong to the Romantic Novelist Association and writes under the name of Magnolia Badminton, hardly worries at all. Why should she? People are positively fighting at her shelf in the public library. The last time I was there and took a guilty look at Death in the Arboretum, it hadn't had a date stamp in the front since last July. Yes, I shall put a twiddle on there. Let's see. Ah. Yes, didn't I give him a twisted grin on about page 3? Yes, I can't use that again. Some people would, but not me. Replied the inspector with his lopsided smile. Good. So how does that run? We are all entitled to our opinion, replied the inspector with his lip-sided smile. Down! I had this yesterday, page 6, where they find the deceased millionaire art collector Sir Bruno Travers. Going like a breeze until I saw I'd been typing sit instead of sir. Anyone we know? Asked the inspector. Sergeant Wells turned the body over. Sit Bruno, he said. Sounded as if a dog had got in. One thing about Shakespeare and that lot, the publishers didn't insist on typescripts. All handwork. You never got the bard looking through his stuff and finding he'd got a character called Hamlet saying to bow or not to bow. In fact, talking of publishers, I've got to go and have dinner with mine today. Or perhaps he's having dinner with me. We didn't really settle that. Probably depend on whether he likes this plot when I tell it to him. Not that I can tell him much. Not if I'm still on page 9. What's the time? 6. 6 o'clock in the morning. Ra-bum-ba-bum. Anyway, that's more than an hour I've been out here in my author's type writing chalet or garden hut, in what the estate agents call the rustic quietude of unspoiled Sussex. Hang on a minute, there'll be another one. They always hunt in couples. We've got used to it now. At first we used to drop trays of drinks or fall downstairs. I once spoke about it to a man I know at the Ministry of Defence. I said, are they allowed to do that? So he said if I'd make a note of the numbers next time, he'd get on to it. But it's a matter of being quick enough. I sometimes used to wait outside in case they came back. Sometimes they don't. And sometimes they do. Anyway, the binoculars are always in the house. Unless you're in the house when you want them, and then they're out here. The same is true of the telephone. As a matter of fact, I was a fool to have a telephone out here in the first place, because just when I'm getting a few thoughts together... Lord Potter's residence? Not at all. You see what I mean? I always say something like that. Especially at this time of day, when there are bound to be wrong numbers. It scares them, you see, and they hang up right away. Otherwise, they go into a great saga about what number they really wanted and wondering why they didn't get it. And am I absolutely certain that I'm not Amalgamated Machine Tools or the gas board? Cause of death, inquired the inspector. Something heavy, the sergeant replied. Possibly a huge spinner. A damn blast spanner! Oh, really? The trouble with the telephone is that it has a switchboard in the house. Oh, nothing elaborate, not like London Airport or Hollywood Central Casting. But if you want it out here, you have to switch it out here when you're in there. Otherwise, when you're out, it's in. And, of course, vice versa, which is what usually happens because I forget to switch. I've remembered to switch it out here this morning, actually, because I don't want Diana, Mrs. Potter to you, Magnolia Badminton to all good bookshops, to be woken up by wrong numbers. Or even by right ones, for that matter. This isn't just thoughtfulness on my part. Once she's awake, she tends to consult me about plots. And there's nothing worse when I'm wondering who knocked off Sir Bruno Travers with a huge spanner to get her on the line, asking if her heroine should get a divorce now or go on living in sin, as they used to call it, for another couple of chapters. Before I bought my author's type garden chalet to get a bit of peace and quiet... Well, they're off early. That's my friendly neighbourhood timber yard. I have to be indulgent there, because they gave me the idea for putting one of my characters through a power sword in Death Has Sharp Teeth. Still, as long as they don't start lawn mowing next door. However, she wouldn't need any wrong numbers to wake her today. The RAF will have done that. What's the time? Just gone 8. Nearly 3 hours, then, and I've written a good half page. Well, a half page. I expect you'll be ringing in a minute, either saying that the coffee's made, or alternatively, would I feel like making it? It can go either way. Sometimes it's neither. She just... Yes, my sweetheart?
Who's that?
Reginald Maudling.
Good Maudling. I wasn't sure you'd be there. I thought I'd try on the off chance. You remember yesterday?
Very clearly.
I meant to say, don't do any panel beating. I just want spraying, just to keep the rust out.
I know how you feel.
Hello? Is that Regal Motors 5832?
4666.
Good morning, darling. Are you on the phone?
Get off the line.
Morning, darling.
Are you Regal?
She can be, sometimes.
Who's that?
I haven't asked him yet. He says he wants spraying, just to keep the rust out.
I thought I was talking to Jim.
You're talking to Magnolia Badminton.
And Gerald C. Potter.
Oh, it's a bloody disgrace.
Are you still there?
I am. He's not.
Why didn't you give him the Lord Potter bit?
Well, I thought he was you, so I said I was Reginald Maudling.
Oh, that makes sense. How are you getting on?
It's good news and bad news.
Well, start with the bad.
Well, I've had 2 low-flying jets twice... 2 wrong numbers, the timber yard slicing a lot of old telegraph poles, and I can't spell lopsided.
And the good?
Roaring George, next door. He hasn't started his lawn mowing yet.
What's that noise?
Nothing. What about you? How are you getting on with Love is a Crumpet?
Trumpet?
Sorry.
Well, that's just it. Mm-hmm. Would you feel like coming in and making the coffee? I've just thought how to get rid of Veronica's husband, and if I don't make a note, I shall forget it.
Well, couldn't you make the... Hang on a minute. Couldn't you make the coffee first and then forget it?
Come in.
Someone at the door.
Besides, I've got your birthday present.
Oh, well, that's different. Well, I better go. Something heavy, the sergeant replied. Possibly a huge spanner. Good. Birthday? Well, that's weeks off. Probably mixing me up with Veronica's husband, dashing society photographer Lord Algernon Twit. How does she sell the stuff?
She wanted black or some of this?
Oh, some of that. I feel about ready for a touch of... Let's see the jar. Yes, a touch of dried vegetable fat, dipotassium phosphate, emulsified glucose and sodium silicoaluminate... Or what they used to call powdered milk in the difficult war years.
It's quick.
Very true.
Doesn't chill the coffee.
Right.
Brings out the full flavour.
Certainly.
Keeps without refrigeration.
Indeed.
Richer and more satisfying taste.
Quite so.
It dissolves instantly.
Right again. Also indistinguishable in appearance from white arsenic.
Where does it say that?
I'm saying that. I was just thinking, I haven't had a death by poisoning since Chapter 11 of Corpses Galore.
Oh, you mean you could lace a bit of white arsenic into the milk substitute?
Why not? Call it Dairy White Murders.
Why that?
That's the name of this muck. Dairy White. They'll have factories with 9,000 girls in, all screaming for copies.
Oh, good. Why not suggest it to your publisher tonight? Of course, you just have to talk the proprietors round. Would they like a book saying you can't tell their product from powdered arsenic and you're home and dry? Talking of which, let's get the weather forecast.
Degrees Fahrenheit. That's the end of the weather forecast.
Yes. You're having your coffee black today?
Yes, I suddenly felt I would somehow after those Dairy White Murders.
You're not suggesting...
I'm not suggesting anything, Inspector.
Full marks for the right answer. Try you on another one. Is this a joke?
I was never more serious in my life.
Bang on.
Also, and more to the point, this calls for a celebration.
What does?
Your birthday. Here. The postman brought it.
Oh, embarrassing, I call that.
Why?
Well, I never give him one. You're sure that's what it is, my birthday present?
Can you think of any other big square parcel that size we're expecting?
Yes, latest batch of VAT booklets.
Oh, open the damn thing.
I'm going to. But why now?
Well, it's as good as time as any. Besides, you could take it to London this evening and impress Mr. Doherty.
He pronounces it Doherty. What I mean is, why a birthday present now? It's weeks off.
Your last birthday.
You can't know that. I might live for ages.
Last year's birthday.
Oh.
It's the thing I was going to get you when the factory went on strike, remember?
Possibly a huge spammer.
Wrong.
I'm sorry. I was thinking of what Sergeant Wells thinks somebody hit millionaire art collector Sir Bruno Travers with.
There. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
Well, how about it's beautiful?
Well, it is. It is. Just what I wanted. Everybody's got them.
Have they? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. I mean, I felt out of it not having one. Oh, well, thank you, darling. Or may I call you Miss Badminton? Really, you're a... Hello, what's it say inside? Real cow.
Move your thumb. Real cow hide.
I've got a lid, too. That means you can lift it up and eat things behind it on the train. You see a lot of stockbrokers doing that. Well, you know how it is with a marriage. You have to tell a little white lie from time to time. It wasn't actually just what I wanted. A real cowhide executive briefcase with a double strip of platinum all round it and latches that go off like rifle shots. And compartments labelled notepaper and envelopes in gold letters. Personally, I don't like being dictated to like that. Who wants to be told how to file his personal stationery by some conveyor belt in Northampton? And the same to you. And there's something else in it I'm not too keen on either. 13 pages of Who Killed Bruno Travers. Well, 12 and a half, ending a bit suddenly. But nobody could do this to Daddy, sobbed Regina. The inspector smiled enigmatically. Oh, damn. Enigmatically. Somebody has, he replied, putting his... Ah, yes, I was interrupted just there, around about tea time. Diana came on the phone and said, would I feel like making the tea, because she was going so well on chapter 29 of Hearts of Tumult, she didn't want to lose momentum. Putting his what? Pipe on the mantelpiece, trousers on, head on one side, notebook away, hand on her bottom. Still, that's not Diana's fault. You can't blame a briefcase for what's in it. One thing for sure, it's going to stay in it. The last thing a publisher wants at a working dinner when he expects to see an author's finished work is 12 and a half pages ending with an inspector putting his. I shan't show it to him. Tell him I've forgotten it, which is almost true, in fact. If she hadn't chased the car down the drive yelling, aren't you going to take your birthday present? I shouldn't have brought it anyway. Now, the important thing is not to leave it on the train like I did the first time out with the umbrella she gave me in 1973. Bring it back in good condition and say everybody loved it. Looks ungrateful, otherwise. It's just that I get a lot of things on my mind. Take now, for instance. Will the station garage leave the car out all right? That's one of the anxieties living in the country. Garage shuts at 10, train from Victoria arrives 10:30. Provided no signal failures, jam points, broken rails, guard walkouts, bodies on the line, or other apology fodder, dash to the garage, bolted and barred. No sign of life, but a big round tin notice saying, open. Car inside. Walk home 3 miles to the village. Mind you, they know me at the station garage when they aren't shut. Tom knows me, Jock knows me, Ted knows me, Bert knows me. They know the car. They keep a set of keys, and if I rush in and dash off without seeing any of them, and I'm not back until 10, they lock it and put it outside. Well, I suppose they actually put it outside and lock it. But I had rather a disquieting experience catching the train this evening. What with backing up the drive to get the briefcase, I'd only got half a minute in hand when I drove into the garage instead of the usual minute. And I was just dashing off when a garage man I had never seen before sprang up from behind a pump. We had quite a bit of dialogue.
Hey, you!
Who, me?
I, you.
What do you want?
What do you want?
I want the 6:20.
Well, with the car?
Not with the car. I'm leaving the car.
Can't do that.
You watch me.
Contract customers only, innit?
I am one.
Name?
Oh, that. Look, they know me.
Who do?
Tom, Jock, Ted, Bert, Harry, they all know me.
Maybe, but I don't, do I? They're all up.
And so am I. That's my trade.
Can't help that, can I?
I am Gerald P. Slaughter. Oh, that. Gerald C. Potter. I'll be late back, so lock it up and put it outside.
Yeah, come back here.
You've got some keys.
Well, I don't know that, do I?
Listen, I have been leaving that car here for 10 years.
Well, it doesn't look that old.
And humorous with it, you see. I'm worrying that. Supposing he puts someone else's car outside and locks it just for a laugh. Or puts mine out and lifts a couple of tyres down. Oh, well, there it is. Have to hope for the best, said the inspector, putting his. Well, you know what the for-today calendars say. Don't worry, it may never happen. When you're down in the mouth, remember Jonah. He came out all right. There was the car, all right after all. Locked it, put it out, everything. None of the tyres let down, no trouble of any kind. Well, I won't say of any kind. What I find when someone else has locked the car is that I forget it's locked and go round it, spraining my wrists on all the handles. Then there's the frightful bit when you can't get at your keys because your raincoat hasn't got a throughway to your trousers pocket, and you stand there getting soaked to the socks, thinking you saved time by trying to unbutton it with your gloves on. Then, when you finally manage it...
Described by a spokesman as the fiercest day's fighting since the ceasefire.
Quite obvious that the true meaning of wealth is really poverty. And the true meaning of poverty...
is cobblers. Still, the dinner wasn't bad. I don't mean as a dinner, but at least he gave me a copy of a fan letter from Kettering and didn't ask to see who killed Bruno Travers.
It wasn't bad as a dinner.
He didn't ask to see any of who killed Bruno Travers. Want some ice?
Oh, that was lucky. No thanks.
What do you mean lucky? I've got some good bits in there. I've just hung up on whether the inspector's got a moustache. I suppose you don't get that sort of a problem with Veronica. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, darling. No, Veronica's gone to Madrid with an architect.
Young, clean cut. Do you want this?
No, not now they've shot Walter Brennan. What did you say about the briefcase?
Oh, he loved it, loved it, loved it. He's got one just like it.
Where is it?
Well, I suppose he took it home with him.
Oh, very amusing. Where's yours, I mean?
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Oh, hell.
Well, it won't be in the car. You always bring everything out of the car, even the letters you've taken to post and not posted. So it's in the train or the restaurant or the taxi.
Or worse.
Worse? What could be worse? You tell me that.
So I had to tell her what could be worse. I mean, apart from getting the car out again on a night like this, blacker than a mother superior's clothes closet, grinding along Thicket's Lane and trying to find the place where I heard the thump. Yes, yes, you fool. Overtake, overtake. Can't you see I'm looking for something in the road? Something shaped like an executive briefcase after it's been run over. She'll kill me for this. I remember it quite clearly. Trying to unlock the car, couldn't find the keys. Put briefcase on car roof, found the keys. Found keys, but lost briefcase. What I can't remember is where I heard the thump when it fell off. Yes, much obliged. Great help there, flashing me full of headlights when I'm trying to...
What's the matter? You got worms or something?
Thank you. Drive safely. Well, I thought nothing of it at the time, just a peculiar thump. Not even a sickening thud. Might have hit a careless weasel. Something gone in the transmission. Now, of course, all is revealed. Except that I know it was in this lane. And I'm nearly through it, not a weasel in sight. A weasel case. I mean, a briefcase. Oh. She is going to murder me. White arsenic in the powdered milk. Or perhaps she'll make it quick. Draw herself up to her full height, 5'1", like Felicity Weems in The Passionate Virgin, and let me have it bang with her wicked-looking little automatic right between the eyes. Darling, you're going to murder me. Oh, you're back in Dodge City.
Switch it off. I want a word with you.
Oh, that's wonderful. I thought we shouldn't be speaking.
Did you find it?
Well, it's dark, darling. People kept hooting.
Well, I know you didn't.
You do?
Mr. Giebel found it.
Who's he?
Next door, up the road. The one you can't bring yourself to complain to about his lawnmower.
Roaring George? Well, that's great. That's marvellous, darling. Isn't it? Oh, it had been run over.
Quite a lot, judging by what's left of it. It's behind the armchair.
Well, this one. Good grief. And he brought it round? Hardly worth the trouble in this state.
He's a lay preacher.
Oh, well, that explains it. He's what?
I think he brought it so that he could say it was disgusting.
Yes, well, they haven't a big vocabulary, those lay preachers. Sad, yes. Spitiful, yes. Disgusting, no.
He meant what's in it.
In it? Well, there's nothing in it but my fan letter from Kettering and 12½ pages of who killed...
Look again.
All right. I say. Ah, yeah, I know. It's a frame-up. He's planted them. Ah, I see it all now. Feels guilty about the lawn, though. He knows I'm on the brink of reporting him to the Noise Abatement Society.
Well, I always think the simplest explanations are the best.
Yeah, absolutely. So he decides on this, what do you call it, preemptive strike. So that I... Hey, hang on a minute. You don't mean you think that I'd been carting around magazines called Nudes in Conflict and Mating Display Monthly and... What's this one? I can't see, for the tire marks on it. Oh, yes, well, never mind.
Your fan letter's there. That's how he tracked you down.
Oh, yes, I haven't read that yet. He only gave it to me just as we were leaving. Let me see. Dear Mr. Parsons, I started to read your very excellent novel of the... Silly cow, she couldn't possibly know who'd done it by page 6. I always hold the first corpse back until then, otherwise they... Hey, just a minute. Where is my Who Killed Bruno Travers? Do you know he's nicked my Who Killed Bruno Travers?
Not Griebel.
Well, he must have, he's not here.
That's because it's not your briefcase. It's your esteemed publisher's. It's Mr. Doherty's briefcase.
He pronounces it Doherty. So I see what you mean, and you're right, of course. I mean... No, but just a minute. There's another letter here in the middle of this magazine with the military title on it. Ladies in Bearskins. It's not bad, that. Ladies in Bearskins. Do you see... Dear Mr. Doherty, it says. I mean Doherty.
Darling.
What, darling?
I know what it says. It's all about somebody's Italian translation rights.
What? You knew all the time it was the wrong briefcase? Not my birthday present at all. Well, of course she knew all the time. They have these interesting, devious minds. Naturally, I didn't think for a minute that she thought... Well, I did think for a minute, but... Well, apparently he phoned up while I was splashing around Thicket's Lane, saying he'd like his briefcase back. And she said it had been run over beyond recognition because, you see, Roaring George Giebel had come round by then, and he surprised her by sounding delighted. And no wonder when she went and poked through the wreckage. Mind you, it gives me something in reserve, a sort of bargaining weapon. If he says he doesn't like those 12½ pages of Who Killed Bruno Travers, I can always ask if he'd like me to change the title to something more meaningful, like Nudes in Conflict, say. But the best thing, of course, as I said to my wife, Miss Badminton, is that I've been handed the super bit of plot about switched briefcases. Unless, that is, somebody's used it before... I wonder, said the inspector, stroking his lopsided moustache thoughtfully, and putting his...